Welcome to episode 368 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and George. As we've mentioned in previous episodes, cruising is back. Tonight, we'll talk with George about his recent sailing on Royal Caribbean's Symphony of the Seas. So let's get started. Yay, return to cruising. Yay. So George, is this your first cruise since COVID?
It was, yep.
All right. So tell us how it was getting ready for this, because I think we're all realizing that the hardest part of travel right now is actually getting there.
Yeah. So
all your stuff together.
When I first started, it was a requirement that you had to be vaccinated, which everybody in my party was, and you had to be tested within 3 days of the cruise. Well, they changed that just a month before and made it 2 days before. So when you're flying down a day early and you only have 2 days to start with, it doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot of time. So three of us, so it was me, my wife, and my youngest daughter, who still lives at home. We all went to local CVS's, got tested, no problem. My oldest daughter, who lives in Ohio, got a nice email the morning of her test from CVS saying they canceled it. And were no CVS's anywhere nearby that had any open tests. So we're looking at where can she test in Miami, and does Royal possibly do it at the port? And come to find out that one of her coworkers' husband also needed a test, and he went to the library where they were giving away free at-home tests. So she managed to go pick up one from them, went home, did the tele thing just like Royal's doing now. They watched her do the swab. 15 minutes later, she had the results. They confirmed it and emailed her, and woo, by the skin of her teeth, she got tested.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that's an antigen test. So it doesn't work if you need a PCR test, but the cruise lines are only requiring antigen to board. So
yep.
I've been looking into Miami because I'm sailing out of Miami this week, and there are some of the ports do have testing sites, like some, you know, and the convention center and stuff. So I'll report back. That's my plan.
Well, yeah, I'm actually getting tested in Fort Lauderdale this week too, at one of those rapid testing sites. It's a pretty penny, but you know, when you're going to Europe and you have to have that test, but mine is.
One in Miami's free, but.
Well, but it's antigen, right?
No, it's PCR.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll let you know.
You'll have to send me the link for that, because I searched. Yeah. I didn't find a free one. But anyway, we digress. Yeah. So everybody had tests in hand. You guys did the CVS ones, and then your daughter did the at home, and all of them were accepted. Yes.
Yep. No problems at all.
Excellent. So then what did happen in the port? If they're not testing in the port, what did happen?
So they're very strict. And as I think you noticed from your previous cruise, that if it says you need to be there between 1 and 1:30, don't show up at 10 o'clock like you used to. So they make everybody line up outside. They had the rope set up for each separate time slot, and you waited there. So we hung around the hotel really and didn't get to the port till right at our check-in time. And there were maybe, I think they were letting people in, because I can't believe there were only five people ahead of us in the 1 to 1:30 slot at 1:05. So they sent us in. We walked in up the stairs and stood in line, waited for our check-in person. It's not in a great big room like it used to be. From what I can remember, it was a giant room, and there were hundreds of desks, almost like the airport counter. And it's not like that now. They took us upstairs, and they had little, almost look like roll array desks set up, spaced out all over the place. And they would point you into a line, and you went and waited there.
That's the new terminal. Yeah, I think they're trying. There are desks, because they're only there if you don't have your boarding pass or whatever and need assistance. But otherwise, they sort of push you through. Yeah.
Yep.
So did you like that?
It seemed a little bit unorganized, but it didn't seem any slower than usual. We had done the whole online check-in thing ahead of time. We uploaded photos. So there, other than look at the paperwork to confirm that we brought what I sent him pictures of, it was really quick.
Cool. How many times did they check your paperwork? Because I just did celebrity.
Oh, Lordy.
Like 3 times for me.
Yeah. Every time you'd go to put it away, somebody else would say, can I see your vaccination passport thing? And okay, yeah, let me whip it out again.
Yep.
And then we'll put a bracelet on you on top of it for a cruise that everybody has to be vaccinated for.
Well, but there are kids on that cruise, right?
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, I can't say I saw more than 10. I mean, there were no kids on board.
So they're giving you as the vaccinated the bracelets, not the kids who are unvaccinated.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
I think that's experience because that was the one I was on in June. The kids who were unvaccinated took their bracelets off. And they were old enough that nobody questioned them. So, and then they got COVID.
God. Trying to think, what the heck is it called? The Compass newsletter. They mentioned a few times that they will specifically check for bracelets if you're going into a vaccinated venue or show. And they were looking.
Now, when you went into the vaccinated venues, you didn't have to wear a mask there, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. No mask at all.
Cool. And that's what were some examples? Nice. Yeah. What were some examples of vaccinated venues?
The Studio B, the Main Theater, the Solarium. It seemed like every event would have a kids, they called it a kids event because they were really the only ones that wouldn't have been vaccinated. And then they had they called it adult only. So that meant vaccinated.
Yeah.
So they had two or three shows of each. So everybody had more than enough time. In fact, even the family one that we went into in the main theater, the second level was for unvaccinated and the lower section was for vaccinated.
Oh, wow. That's
even
reminiscent of the sort of caste system there.
Yeah.
Although usually it would be the unvaccinated have to stand on the floor. But what were your accommodations? Because we know the Symphony of the Seas is one of the Oasis class ships. So there's like roughly 3 million choices of accommodations, correct?
Yep. So we ended up booking Central Park View balconies. They price like in Ocean View. So the price is a little bit better. You get a balcony, you can't see the ocean, but we were going to St. Martin and St. Thomas, which I've been to already. So more than once. So having the ocean balcony to see what was going on wasn't that big a deal. So yep, we saved a little bit of money on that. Although they sent me the, do you want to upgrade email for bidding on the other categories a few times, and the prices were coming down where I almost thought about it, but I decided it was good enough.
What did you think of those balconies? Because I mean, the Central Park area makes me feel like you're in an apartment looking over a garden, you know, like that's what it sort of makes me think of. How did you like it?
So we didn't spend a whole lot of time out in the balcony. I guess it was a little bit warm and it was really windy a few nights. So you're right. It's like living in an apartment in New York City where you can wave to the neighbor across the street. It was they were literally that close. So, you know, at night you always had to have your blinds closed. They did have music out there a couple of nights, but because it's Central Park, it's not hard rock and roll. It was a pianist or a guitar person. So it was pretty nice. I didn't mind it at all. It wasn't loud. Didn't keep us up at all. And for the difference in price, I guess if seeing the ocean wasn't a big deal and you did want a balcony, I know my wife went out there a few nights to read. It was worth it.
Yeah. I think it's cool to have that kind of extra space, you know, to kind of separate if you need some air or something, you know. So, okay, cool. I just always, when I'm on a cruise and I think of a balcony, I think of looking out at the ocean, you know. So it's those interior balconies that they have on those ships that, yeah, I don't know.
So last time when we were on, Harmony for the convention, we were in a Central Park view room. It wasn't the balcony. And that was pretty nice because where the balcony was basically like a reading nook in front of the window.
Well, that would be nice.
So it was the same size room, and we liked that. So I figured I'd give the balcony a try.
Which did you like better?
I probably liked the reading nook better. Yeah. It was more extra to sit and just read, and it was still cool because you were in the room, and it was a lot hotter out in the balcony.
Okay. Yeah. I did the balcony on the Harmony, so sister ship to the Symphony, the Central Park balcony on the inaugural, and I did not love it. I didn't like being that close to other people. It's like the whole reason that I get a balcony is so I could sit out there and sort of be a little Leo DiCaprio, and I just, you couldn't do that. You know, you can't just hang out out there. I mean, you can, but you literally are looking right at the people right across from you.
It's, oh, yeah.
You
know, yep.
Super close. So. And their room looks just like yours, so you can't do that thing that you do in New York City and like check out how they've decorated their apartment.
But you could, guys, like, all do that, right? Just walking around.
So, you know, I want to ask you about what you ate, because I know you're a picky eater, and I was watching you post pictures, and you jazzed it up a little bit this trip.
Yeah, we didn't do any excursions. Royal didn't offer a whole lot. They were definitely a much smaller choice than on previous cruises. And I was nursing a neck problem, so that really narrowed down what I could do. So there really wasn't much. You know, I felt bad for the girls because we had talked about doing Snooba and a whole bunch of other things, and none of that was even offered. So we took our excursion money and did a lot of extra dining.
That's a lot of dining.
It was so, a lot of dining, yeah.
Yeah. You've got a lot of things here that you said you tried, and many of them. Did you try all these, or are these just the restaurants that you listed here? Like, all
no, those are all the ones we went to.
The ones you went to. So I see you did not go to Wonderland. I guess that you weren't venturing that far out.
We didn't, because I've been there twice, and my wife's been there once, and my youngest makes me look like the Phantom Gourmet. So. I don't think she would have. Yeah.
I see a lot of safe choices here. Windjammer, which is the buffet. How were they doing the buffet? Were they still serving you, or was it self-serve?
They were. And the ship had, I think somebody said it had 3,200 passengers on it. So it was less than half full. So it was really weird going in a Windjammer and not bumping elbows with everybody all the way around. It was pretty open. You could move, and they still served everything to you, which I didn't have a problem with that at all. It didn't make it any slower. So,
And it was easy to find tables.
So they had tables with little plastic cards on them. One side said, "No, I'm not cleaned yet." One said, "Sanitized for your enjoyment," so you knew that was open. And then the other ones had tent cards that said closed due to social distancing. So there were a couple of times we walked around and we just couldn't find a table, and they did have crew members walking around with walkie-talkies, so if you couldn't find a table, they'd find one for you. So nice. Yeah, no issues there either.
Excellent. So and then I see the main dining room, which I'm assuming was normal main dining room fare. Nothing unusual to report to us there?
Nope, nothing different from any of the other cruises we've been on.
All right, and then Chops, which is the steakhouse, so safe choice there for George. Yep. Did you like it?
Yep, meat and potatoes.
Sign me up. And Jamie's Italian. I don't think you could go wrong there either, right?
No, Jamie's we actually did for lunch, which was the first time I've done one for lunch, and it's quite a bit less in cost. I don't know if the menu was really that much different. The portions were supposed to be a little bit smaller, but since you kind of order pretty much whatever you wanted, it didn't really matter. So Jamie's was good. No, not at all. Nope. Good.
I see Johnny that charcuterie board at Jamie's. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yep. We didn't even order that. They just brought it out and set it up for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Johnny Rockets, which is not a surprise. I know you love Johnny Rockets. So
I do love burgers and rings, and we all like the Johnny Rockets. Yep.
Hooked Seafood. Now, I didn't know you were much of a seafood guy. Are you?
Yes, I like seafood, and Hooked was pretty interesting. It was probably our least favorite restaurant. And I guess when you're from New England, you probably shouldn't go to seafood places elsewhere. So
you sound like Lindsay. She was like, "I don't want not Pacific, like non-Pacific Northwest seafood. She doesn't want to go have seafood in Florida.
Yeah. So the meal I ordered was like fisherman's platter. It was supposed to come with a bunch of different things all fried. Well, they didn't have cod. They had some other fish that I've never heard of was their substitution, and it was okay, but it wasn't cod. And unfortunately their scallops are frozen. And if you live up here, you can tell.
Yeah.
And my wife ordered a whole Maine lobster. Now, a whole Maine lobster means a whole Maine lobster. So they didn't give her the claws. It was just the tail and the body. They split it in half and, you know, covered it with some breadcrumbs and some other things. But I think they used the tail for their lobster roll.
Oh.
But if you're going to advertise on the menu a whole Maine lobster, it needs to come with the claws. That's what makes it whole. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So wasn't Hooked, didn't it used to be like the suite only restaurant? Am I thinking?
No. The suite is, I'm drawing a blank on
the name
of the suite restaurant.
But they didn't have Hooked on the Harmony, right?
No.
That's no, Hooked is only on two ships so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different in iterations in each one. Like one, it's more of a counter service. And this one's the table service one. But the other one, which I think is on this, which one is it on?
I think it's on Ovation. And it used to be the dim sum noodle company place when it was originally sailing over in Asia. And when it came across, they converted it to the seafood. But yeah, it's more like a lunch only quick service type place.
Yeah. Like almost a counter, you know, like you like a almost like a lobster roll place, right?
Exactly. Yep.
All right, and then 150 Central Park, which is one of my favorite specialty restaurants in Royal Caribbean's entire line of specialty restaurants. So talk about that a little bit. What was your experience?
So I hadn't booked it initially. We were in Windjammer that morning having breakfast, and there was somebody walking around and 50% off on 150 Central Park. How can you go wrong? So, okay, I'll take it. And it was great. The food was fantastic. The menu was very good. We bought a bottle of wine. It was probably our favorite meal on the ship. Definitely worth it.
It's really good. It's tucked away and I don't think people like think of it. And then once they go, they're like, oh my gosh, it's great. I did hear, did you do the bread service? Usually when they bring out bread and then they bring out a bunch of different salts with the butter. They do that. Nope. Yeah. I think with COVID, they're not doing that right now.
Okay.
They have these little salt like flowers that have like, this is Hawaiian salt and this is black salt and like all these different kinds of salt. And you can salt your butter with this. So good. Donna,
that would have been cool.
So good. So good.
That sounds interesting.
It's so good. But I'm hearing that they're not doing it right now. I'm sure it's because it's a little open dish, right? And then they, you know, they give you little spoons, but who knows, right? So I think that's why they're not doing it. All right. So let's talk entertainment. What'd you see that you liked?
Most all of it was very good. Hairspray. So that's the second of the big Royal Caribbean Broadway shows I've seen. I wasn't familiar with it, didn't know a thing about it, never seen it before.
Really?
I'm not a theater buff.
Oh no, I go back even further than that one, Donna. The one with Deborah Harry and Divine. Yes.
Well, yes, I've seen that one too.
Yeah. That's like
So you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yep. I love the shows. I don't know. I've never really gotten into it.
So talk about Hero, because that's kind of a cool thing on these Oasis class ships.
Yeah. Now, didn't we see that on Harmony?
Yeah, I think we did.
I thought we did.
Was ours abbreviated because it was windy, or was it the full show?
Is that the Aqua Theater show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seemed exactly the same.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was just as good. They didn't have the whirling dervish guy at the beginning. So I couldn't tell my girls, check that out.
Yeah. It's so cool. I wonder if they just didn't. I mean, that's one of those skills that. Either you got it or you don't. Spinning for hours and hours.
So that was good. The headliner
is amazing. I mean, I just want to go back to that for just a second. Yeah. Just the way they like. You know, all of a sudden there's a floor and then it's a pool and then the people are doing the synchronized stuff and they're underwater forever. You know, I mean, that's a really good show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the headliner show was Mark Preston. Who? So they introduced him and what he was and who he was, and he came out. And so he was from a, I guess, 50-60 group called the Letterman. It was okay. Yeah.
It was Elizabeth would know that.
A three guy trio. And when he started singing on clips of all their hits, I'm like, I know that one. I know that one. So yeah, it was pretty good. He was really good.
That is cool. I wouldn't have known. You're right. Mark Preston. I'd be like, who? But the Letterman. Yeah. My dad had all of their albums. So.
And they had, he said they had like 80 albums. It was, I mean,
they were prolific. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like you went to the ice show.
We did. And this ice show was no different than the last ice show. go to watch the skating. Don't try to follow the story because it doesn't make any sense. And yeah, that was it. The skating was really good.
Didn't this one kind of have like this Doctor Who theme to it?
Yeah, but it was all over the place. And I couldn't get it. And my kid said, did you understand the story? He's like, no, not at all. But the skating was really good. So go with that.
Yeah. This one I feel was the, I think Sandy and I both were like, yeah, it was the one that's made the most sense so far, but that's a really low bar. So, you know, it, like, I marginally got maybe a plot point or two.
Chris along was impressed and he liked the, like, London. He liked the Doctor Who-esque feeling to it. Yeah.
I liked that it had a narrator too. I think that just helped sort of tie things together a little bit so that you at least sort of felt like you were being carried along, even if you weren't sure where you were going. So,
And there was another show called Ice Skate 2.0 that I couldn't even get into. It was completely full, both showings. So don't know what that one was about.
Well, we will not review it here then.
Yeah, I can't help you. Sorry.
So what did you think of Dare to Dream? Because I, the flight, Dare to Dream, because I think that was my favorite when I was on this ship.
That show was amazing for the amount of sets that they had, considering it's on a ship, the humongous plane that flies out over the audience. And of course, all the performers were the same ones from Hairspray. So great singing and dancing. And it was a huge cast of probably 20 people, maybe more. That one was really good. Great story, good acts. That was probably that and Hairspray were definitely the two favorites for the week.
Yeah. I think that show is just unlike anything else on the sea. I mean, the special effects, everything, the zero gravity chamber that they do and the way they do that. I mean, it's all on wires and they don't really necessarily, you know, pretend it's not, but the makeup, the hair and makeup for it and everything, it's just really clever the way they do it.
Right, when they pulled the curtain
part. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, the part Elizabeth was talking about when they're in outer space. Yeah, it was good. It was really cool.
When they pulled the curtain and I saw the thing as they slowly wheeled it out, I'm thinking at first I thought it was a video screen because it was all like a forced perspective like Disney had, how they shrunk the thing in the back. And I'm like, wow, that was really cool. Like, very good show. Yep.
Real people in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. And I'm glad they're doing them all too, because I think it's some cruises, I feel like they've abbreviated or, you know, they're not showing all of their normal stuff. So it's good to know that's pretty much a full run. Like, you had a full entertainment.
So they not doing as much trivia. They're not doing the, is it the newlywed game or love and marriage game? So a lot of those kind of things at night they didn't have. Okay. So they're definitely not as much as they would normally have, but they're trying. That would make
Elizabeth sad, not the trivia.
I mean, I don't care about the newlywed games. I don't go to those because those involve like audience participation and that. I don't like that. But the trivia I do like. And that surprises me because I didn't feel like we were shorted trivia on any of the cruises I've been on so far. But
so they had some, but it was in the on-air club, which is not very big. So we went to one of them and it was like movie theme songs. And it started at 7:30 and by 7:15, it was completely full and they weren't letting anybody else in.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So had them, but it was just hard to get into.
They had a lot of people that wanted to, they just didn't have room there to do them. Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Yep.
All right. And then you said that the ports are ports that you've been to, but did you get off the ship at all?
So St. Martin, we didn't get off at all. St. Thomas, we got off the ship, but the ship actually didn't dock in, I'm drawing a freeze. The capital of St. Thomas.
Yeah.
Charlotte Amalie.
Yeah. Yeah. We weren't docked there. They were docked a little bit further to the west. It was like a cargo port. So the little cruise port area, there wasn't much to it. It was a liquor store, liquor, diamonds, and a t-shirt shop. And that was about it. So we got off there. We walked around a little bit, looked for some shirts and stuff like that, and got back on the ship. We found a nice deck that had the type of chairs that we liked and had a real good breeze. And it happened to be right near the soft serve ice cream place. So
just happened to be there.
Yep.
So basically, you had a perfect day once you got back on.
Yeah. Yep.
So speaking of perfect day, which day was more perfect, that day or the day of perfect day?
The perfect day was not perfect at all. We had actually rented the Bali beds over on one of the beaches, and the weather was terrible. It was rain squalls, 3-meter waves. The captain said, I'm not even going to try to pull into port. So it was another fun day at sea. So the only beach day we had planned turned out to be a sea day. So I still have not seen perfect day yet.
You're just going to have to go back then.
Yeah.
Right now we're looking at an ABC cruise. So it doesn't stop at perfect day, but that's kind of the next thing after a while, if you're not sailing for the ship, how many times can you go to St. Thomas and St. Martin? So figured this time we'd not pick a ship and pick ports instead, and never been to Aruba, Bonaire, or Curacao. So we're interested to hit that up. So maybe next year. Is it good?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I've never been to those either, but okay. I'd like to.
And I do think that your weather issues won't be as bad down there because they're located, they don't get the weather. But that is interesting because one of the things about Perfect Day and the renovations they did to it and building that dock, they said that it would be much less likely that they would have to bypass it. Because we actually didn't, the first time that we could have experienced Coco Key was before it was perfect day. And we couldn't stop there either because the waves were just too bad. And so it's interesting because you're the first person I've heard of that has had to bypass it since they opened it. I don't think you are the first person. I think there have been other cruises, but you're the first person I've known that.
Yeah.
Had that luck. It's almost like you were channeling Donna for a minute.
Well, considering I didn't get my luggage until 3 days after we came home. Yeah.
There you go.
The curse of Donna.
Yeah, that was a whole fiasco. We were one of the 600 American Airlines flights that got canceled and stranded in Miami for 36 hours. Yeah.
Wow. Did you just get a hotel and leave the airport, or
we ended up Ubering up to Fort Lauderdale and ended up buying Southwest flights to get home because American couldn't get me anything till Tuesday from a Saturday flight. Yeah. So I got things to do. So
that's the biggest problem with these flight cancellations.
But
I'm glad you made the most of it and solved the problem. And and sorry that you need a Donna vaccination. So.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is you just, go with the flow. If it happens, it happens.
Well, I'm not sure how much he went with the flow. There was some griping on Facebook for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'd be mad if my flight got canceled for 3 days too,
It was funny because we did run into somebody in line. No lie, there was 1,000 people. It took us 7 hours from the time they canceled our flight till we could get to the desk to talk about rescheduling. And the guy behind us, he had just barely walked through security when they canceled the flight. So like you didn't know a couple hours before that you were going to cancel that flight. So they waited to the last minute after jiggling the gates like 5 times before they finally canceled it. Wow. And it was a mess.
Yeah. So with that, just to sort of sum up, because you are a Royal Caribbean fan, are you not?
Yes.
Yeah. So how would you rate this ship? Is this one that you feel you want to do again? Do you think it's anything to write home about? What are your thoughts?
So we were spoiled, obviously, because there were so few people on where you never had to wait for an elevator, or literally there was no lines for anything anywhere. But yes, except for trivia, I specifically booked Symphony because of our cruise on Harmony. And I really like the big ships. I love having lots of options and different things to do and places to hang out. So if I'm not interested in a specific port, I'm definitely going Oasis or whatever they're calling their new class that's going to be coming out. If I'm looking for ports, then I guess ship isn't as important, but yep, we are big ship cruisers.
Yep. Well, good. I'm actually on the Odyssey this week for one of the pre-inaugurals, which is a weird thing to say because the ship's been sailing for almost a year now, but not really, but it's existed for a year. I'm looking forward to getting back on one of the Quantum class ships to seeing it again. It's been a minute since I've done that. So we will talk about that one when it happens, but a lot of these same things are on that as well. So looking forward to that. All right. Yeah. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.